That would be right where you respond, Merry Christmas back. So let's try that. Even if you're online, you can do that if you type it, or you can just yell it out loud. Merry Christmas, everybody. Great to see you here. Okay, not too bad. Great to see you this morning. I want to welcome all of our campuses. I want to welcome all of you that are here live with us as we are trying to do our best to be socially distant and keep you as safe as possible in these very strange and confusing times. So thank you for joining us. If you're online with us, we're especially glad that you joined us. Whether you're here in the Dayton area or around the world, we're really thrilled that you could find your way here. If you're brand new to Fairhaven, we have greeted you in all of our campuses, and we're so grateful that you can join us here as we're in a series called All As Well. And we're asking the question, is it possible, wouldn't it be nice to know that we can enter into this Christmas season knowing that all is well? And some of us would say that by all accounts, the year 2020, that's just not possible. It's just not possible for us. I mean, let's just get through the Christmas season. Let's put our best smiles on. Let's do our best to just power through if you can, because it's impossible for us to experience the fact that all can be well in our lives. Well, that's not true at all. When you read the Christmas story and you see the elements of it, and we look at the traditional elements of what Christmas is, and if you look at a Christmas wreath and the candles that some of you might be lighting, and you look at the subject matters of those and things that we're talking about here in this series, I think you'll agree with me that it is very possible for us to experience all is well in our life. Last week, we talked about peace. This week, I want to talk about joy. Joy is something that you can feel as an emotion for sure, but it's far better than that. It's far deeper than that. It's far more profound than that, than just an emotion, and we'll see that as we get into it. I don't know what brings joy to you during the Christmas season. I don't know if it's buying a gift for somebody, which just brings such great joy, or when you find the perfect gift for that individual, maybe that's that brings you joy, or maybe it's some special Christmas latte that you have, that you pull out a certain mug only at Christmas, and that brings you great joy. Maybe it's something funny, like a bad sweater that somebody wears, or to a party, where you have these bad sweaters that people wear and it brings you joy. I think you'd agree with me that when we think of joy and when we think of the season of joy, because that's what Christmas is, as we try to understand and unpack this small little word, three letters, that is so huge in our lives, I think you'd agree with me that the joy of Christmas is seen best through the eyes of kids. Would you all agree with that? How many of you would agree with that, that it's through kids that we see Christmas the best? Watch this.
Can I go?
That's cute. What's
are
that?
You next?
Yeah.
What? Oh, to wear. These are cool.
Yeah,
to wear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so cute.
No way.
That's what I want to do. Oh, wait! Do you know how great those things are?
You can't even find those things!
You can't find these things.
They have.
You gotta have a heart attack.
Oh!
He's crying because he's
hot. Oh, my gosh! I can't believe it!
Oh, my gosh!
Oh, my gosh!
Are you sure it's not just a wee box?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you open it and you see a pair everywhere.
Oh, don't throw up on
your kids. Don't go to the bathroom.
Now that's Christmas joy right there, where you go from laughing to crying to throwing up. I guess that's a Christmas joy. If you're a parent, you know that video is pretty old because of Wii. I mean, that was like, what, 10 years ago or something like that, but still a very funny video. And when you think of the joy of Christmas, oftentimes you do. You think of the joy that you see in kids' eyes or grandkids' eyes. And it's an exciting time when your kids wake you up and they say, it's time, and it's like 4:30 in the morning. It's not time yet, but we'll get there, and it's very, very exciting. And as you go on, what's interesting, though, when you think of the season of joy, you think of the topic of joy, life happens as you get older and older, right? Life happens to us, and you don't stay as a kid. You become a middle school and high schooler and college, and then you get married and you stay single, or you get older in your life, and all of a sudden there's financial crisis that comes into your life, or there's an unexpected circumstance that takes place, or a physical thing that takes place, a setback that happens in your life. All these things, or a relationship that hurts you, or perhaps you've been disappointed by somebody, or even betrayed, or somebody's taken advantage of you. Life happens for us as we get older and older, and it gets a little bit harder for us to grasp a hold of what joy is. I don't care how old you are or wherever you're at in your life station of life, whether you're, 8 years of age or 80 years of age or even older than that. It doesn't matter where you're at. Here's what my guess is. My guess is that we all long for joy. At the Christmas season, when we celebrate joy and when you light the candle for hope and peace and joy, it's not just wishful thinking. There's a sense of longing in your life and my life that we really do want to experience joy. We want joy to be so deep in our lives that it actually impacts us the rest of the year, not just for a couple of weeks during the year, during the Christmas season. We all long for joy. The problem, though, is, as I mentioned, that life happens. And so what happens is we are cynical of it. That some of us actually believe that joy is not even possible. Some of us believe that there may be moments of joy where you can have a happy moment, where you can have a moment of joy, but we're so cynical enough that we're just believing that, I don't know that if joy is really possible, I don't know that I can actually go through life and have joy as part of my life, a significant part of my life on a regular basis. It may be possible during Christmas, but I just don't think, and some of us are very cynical about the fact that it could even happen in our lives, or we give up on it. Like we just say to ourselves, joy is not possible, and so I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to have an attitude of maintaining as much stability as I can. I'm not going to show emotion one way or the other. I'm going to get through every day. I'm going to get through every week. I'm going to just power through. I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to put people around me that will just help me get through all the things that I get through. We just sort of give up on joy. Not only are we cynical, we give up on it, and then oftentimes we fabricate it. Do you know we can fabricate joy? We can do things like we can buy bigger stuff that somehow fabricates this sense of joy or emotion that we think is going to last until you have it, and then it's not that important. I mean, I think you'd agree with me that anticipation is half the fun, isn't it? It is for kids, I know that. That the greater the anticipation, the greater the amount of joy that you can have and experience in your life. And the reality is we fabricate it. We buy bigger things. We try to create better memories. Nothing wrong with good memories. Lots of memories. But joy will only come in a moment in those memories. And it's not something that necessarily will last us a lifetime unless we really understand what joy is. We fabricate it in many, many different ways. Or we just numb it. We numb the fact that we don't really experience joy. And what we do is we take two cups of cheer and we take a bunch of pecan pie during a season of joy and we hope that we can just sort of get through. And so we take the top off of pain and we take the bottom off of joy. What's really interesting to me is I've been doing some study here is that I didn't even realize this until I was thinking about this, sitting in my office and thinking through the idea that I think many of us try to numb the pain that we have in our life with a variety of different kinds of things. But as I began thinking about this, it's really interesting that if you try to numb a pain in your life, do you realize that you can't numb one kind of emotion? That when you numb an emotion, you numb all of the emotions. Am I right? Church, if you think about it, you can't just numb the pain in your life. You end up numbing everything in your life. And so then you feel no emotion of any kind in your life. But one of the ways that we deal with joy is that we numb the loss of it in our lives. So the question I want to wrestle with you today is this. What if joy is possible? What if joy goes beyond a moment? What if joy is more than just an emotion that we feel in a particular season? What if it's really, really possible for us? What if it's something that you and I can think through during the season, and as we think through it, we begin to understand that it's huge, that it's linked to something so much more profound and deep than just an emotion that we can feel in our lives? Turns out that in the Christmas story, we're told about how we can experience joy throughout all of our lives. And it turns out that in Jesus's life, where I'm going to have you turn to two places in your Bible. So grab your Bibles. If you're online, you can just grab it there on the top right. But if you've got a Bible with you, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 8. And if you were here last week, you're like, well, weren't we here last week? Yeah. In fact, we'll be here next week. We're going to look at the same story 3 weeks in a row, and we'll see that all is well right here in what the angels had to say. And perhaps you could be visited by an angel today in a still, small voice that could help you and help me to understand that joy is possible. Joy is something that we can experience in our life no matter what happens in life. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Let me read it for you. Keep your Bibles open because I'm going to ask you then to take a right into John in just a few minutes. But let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field. I've been to that field. I've been to the very place and looked over the mountain and saw the field there in Bethlehem. We're planning a trip this next November, COVID aside, of course, but we want to plan it. And so it's on the books. We're ready to go. We had a trip planned this year. We had to cancel it. And so we've got a plan for November. If you're interested about it, we'll get you some information coming around the beginning of the year. But I stood there. I saw those fields. And so here's, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Of course they were. If an angel showed up in your bedroom, and a bright light showed up in your bedroom, you might have fear too. And then angels say what angels always say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Would you underline that phrase in your Bibles? Highlight that phrase in your devices. Good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. It's not just for those that, you know, come to church on a regular basis. It's not for those that don't make mistakes in their life. It's not those that, you know, that have some past in their life. It's for all people, it says right here. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a whole host of angels showed up. And we looked at this last week. And the whole host, a huge choir of angels showed up and said, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Among those whom he is pleased. So right here, the angel speaks of joy, and the angel, watch this, connects good news with great joy. What is the good news? The good news is that you and I, sadly, have been born into a life that we have the propensity to do wrong. We have the propensity to do the things that are not what we want to do. Sometimes we do things that we don't want to do. Sometimes we don't do things that we want to do or need to do. And in fact, it goes all the way back to the very beginning of your Bible. You can read it for yourself. Many of you probably know it. But in Genesis, it tells us that Adam and Eve made a really bad decision and sin entered into the world. And you and I have choices that we can make. But we grew up with this sense that there is sin in our life, there is wrong in our life, and we've done all kinds of things. And so there's a relationship that's broken between us and God. And so God saw that, and he wanted to do something about that. And the good news is that God actually did something about that. That he prepared the way, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to be born as a baby. A baby. So that he could be raised by these human parents and crucified on a cross, placed in a tomb, only 3 days later to walk away, to provide freedom for us, freedom for you and for me of sin in our life. That's the good news. And the angel says that the good news is connected to great joy. And I want to look at that because actually Jesus prays a prayer that we'll look at in a second here that is connected to that as well. But the angel said there's great news. And so if you're here today and you're just at the end of your rope or you're trying to figure out life and maybe during the Christmas season, I got good news for you. And that is that God can sort out all that in your life is giving you shame and guilt and holding you back and stopping you from experiencing real life so that your sins can be put as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that awesome, church? That's the story of Christmas. That's the gift of Christmas that we talk about right there. What's interesting is that when you look at the story, I guess you could say it this way: sin makes us old and die. When you look at joy through the eyes of a kid, it's amazing how the kids have so little pain in their life compared to adults. There is certainly pain in kids' lives, don't get me wrong. But as we get older and older, we understand pain at a much greater level. It's interesting how sin makes us old and sin causes us to die. The Bible says that very clearly. What I find very interesting that the angel is putting this together, and the angel says this: that joy makes us young and alive again. A joy is a combination of good news and great joy, that the two of them can be put together. And when you experience joy and you understand what joy, biblical joy, really is, something that can run through your veins all year long, not just a fleeting moment because of something good happening in your life, you begin to realize that you can be young again and you can be alive in your life. And it's amazing how that happens to us, not just during the season of Christmas, but literally all year long. And as Jesus was born, he was raised and he became a man, and he gathered with his disciples just hours before his death. And he was having a conversation with them, and he said, I'm gonna go away for a little while, but I'm coming back. That's the second Advent. That's the second Christmas. How many of you know there's gonna be a second Christmas? Christmas is an Advent, right? The coming of God. And so he says, I'm gonna come back again. But don't worry. What I'm gonna do is send to you the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who can help you and guide you and lead you. And then after he says all that, he begins to pray for them. And I don't know if you've ever read in John chapter 17 before, but I want you to turn with me. John chapter 17, we'll pick it up in verse 13. But in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays for you. He prays for me. He prays for all disciples. And he prays something in here that helps us to understand the significance of joy, that helps us to understand really what joy is all about. It helps us that during this Christmas season, that we can go into the new year and we can go all through next year and experience this little tiny three-letter word called joy. John chapter 17, as Jesus is praying, he says something in his prayer that is absolutely amazing. I want you to take a look at it. Let me read it for you, and then let's unpack it as Jesus talks about joy. Here it is, John chapter 17, verse 13. He's praying, and he says, but now, so he switches what he's praying about, but now I'm coming to you. He's talking to the Heavenly Father in prayer. I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world. In other words, it's not just for these guys in this room. It's for all of us. Just like the angel said, it's for all people. So he says, these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled. Would you underline that, highlight it in your devices? My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. That's the good news. And the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not part of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, or set them apart. Make them different than the world. Let the world around them see that it is not just a season. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. You see, Jesus is praying that we would understand what joy is, because when you understand what joy is in your life, it can change you so profoundly that then when you go into your life and whatever life looks like, Jesus says, I'm going to send them into the world, because then you and I are the messengers of joy. That's pretty incredible. So before we go out and are the messengers of joy, I think we probably need to understand it. We need to understand what joy is. Let me give you the definition, first of all, because I think it'll help us if we at least define what joy is. If you want to write it down, it's pretty simple, actually. But this is what joy is. Joy is simply a settled heart. When your heart is settled, it's like a deep breath. It's not only an emotion that can bring some highs in your life and excitement and happiness, but at the end of the day, joy that runs through your veins is simply a settled heart. You can be settled in your heart. That's the kind of joy that Jesus is praying here. So let's take this prayer, and I wanna take it apart a little bit and look at it, and then what you'll see is there's other verses in the Bible that begins to make sense. you're like, oh, wow, I didn't really realize that. Because when you think about it, in the context of what the Bible says about joy, which, by the way, the word joy is used 400 times in Scripture, 100 times related to the story of Jesus' birth. 100 times. So there's something about Jesus related to the joy that you and I can experience. So let's take a look at this. I read it for you, but let's unpack this a little bit. First thing he says is this, that they may have my joy fulfilled. Jesus wants your joy to be fulfilled. Jesus wants you and I to walk around with joy filling up our lives. Not just a moment, not just a particular event in our lives, not because financially you're doing well, but because of your whole life. Jesus wants to fill your whole life, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I want to talk about how you and I can experience joy fulfilled. Three things that we'll learn right here in his prayer that will help you and I to understand how our joy can be absolutely fulfilled in life. Because Jesus's prayer, as he's talking to the Father, is that I hope that their lives are full of joy, that you would be joy fulfilled. What would it look like if you left today and your joy was fulfilled? What would it be like if this next year, that every single day that your life was filled with joy? What does that look like? And how does joy happen in our life? See, joy fulfilled happens, number one, if you want to write this down, when we're connected to God. I want you to notice in chapter 17 that he says, it's my joy. It's not your joy, it's not my joy, it's not joy that comes from circumstances, it's the joy of Jesus. That the joy of Jesus, when we're connected to God through Jesus, that's how we experience joy fulfilled. Joy isn't positive thinking. Joy isn't some bubbly, optimistic personality. Know anybody like that? Joy isn't happy that life is going your way. Joy isn't just a glass half full attitude. Joy isn't just the garnish on the top of your Christian life. Joy is not the cherry on top that you experience every once in a while because you get a bonus or something happens in your life that's really great in your life. That's not what joy is. Joy, church, make sure you catch this. Joy is baked into our lives. That when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's baked into your life. The joy is baked into your life so much so that you're connected with God. And the greater that you're connected with God, the greater you're going to experience joy. So no wonder that we read what Paul said to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5, when he said that the fruit of the Spirit, that one of the fruits or one of the byproducts of the Spirit working in your life is joy. That when you're connected to God and God is doing things in your life and you have a regular connection with God and you're walking with God, you're listening to what God wants you to do, you're doing your best to try to honor and glorify and love God every single day in all of your relationships, in all of your finances, in the way you deal with your kids and grandkids and singleness. And when you live your life and you're connected, that the byproduct of that is joy. Now it begins to make sense. Because joy is connected to God. You can't have joy that is fulfilled in your life without being connected with God in your life. That's what Jesus is saying here. The reason the Bible talks about relentless joy is because it's connected to the goodness of God. That your joy being fulfilled in your life is connected to the goodness of God in your life. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 26, it reads, you shall rejoice in all things. You shall rejoice in all things because the Lord your God has given to you great and mighty things. You might be asking to yourself the question, but what happens if I'm not feeling joyful? Because you might be thinking, well, you know what? I'm in a relationship with God. Like I've surrendered my life to him and I'm in a relationship with God, but I don't feel joyful right now. I mean, life is beating you up or perhaps a situation or a circumstance and you just don't feel joyful. And you're asking the question, what if I am not joyful in my life right now? Well, I would say to you this, that your joy meter is really, really low because your connection with God is really low. There is a direct correlation between your connectedness to God and your experience of joy. That what Jesus is praying is that their joy might be fulfilled because he wants them to be connected to him. And so the greater your connection to Jesus, the greater that the gauge of your life will experience joy. And now it's no wonder that you can read in Psalm 51 when David is pouring out his soul to God. Psalm 51, because Nathan confronts him about Bathsheba. Remember that whole situation with David and Bathsheba? And David cries out in Psalm 51. You can write it down and read it for yourself. And this is what he says: God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Anybody ever hear that verse before, right? Restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know what's going on in that psalm? What David is saying is, I drifted from God. I made some really bad mistakes. And the byproduct of that is low joy. The things in our lives when we begin to drift from God and our circumstances overwhelm us and we start to blame God, your joy meter is going to be really, really low. See, it's a connectedness with God that makes the difference. And that's what Jesus is praying. Jesus is saying, may my joy be fulfilled in them as they're connected to me, connected to you, Heavenly Father. It's no wonder that then we read this verse here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, if you don't know anything about Jesus, this verse doesn't make any sense, right? This does not make any sense. Like, why would there be any joy connected to the cross? And here's how you can read this. Because when you understand that joy is being connected to God, you understand that Jesus was looking past the cross into your life and mine. That when we're connected with God, that brought him great joy, which in turn brings us great joy, because joy is connected to God. Take a look at verse 15. Your Bibles are open, your devices are powered up there. Take a look at verse 15, John chapter 15. This is what we read. It says this: I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. If you're a note taker, you might want to write down, the word keep here is the word protect. The idea is like a security guard standing at a jewelry shop, right? To make sure that when people go into a jewelry shop, that everything happens like it's supposed to happen. And so I want you to get the image in your mind of a security guard, big, huge security guard, a bouncer, if you will, standing at the door of a very expensive jewelry shop. And so he's praying to God and he's saying, I do not ask, God, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, we'll get to that in a second, but that you keep them or that you protect them or that you guard them from the evil one. Now, this is really interesting because when Jesus prays this, here's what he's saying. The joy is not only connected to God, don't miss this, but joy is that we're protected from the joy robber. And the Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so Jesus is praying that you and I would be protected from the joy robber in life. What I find very interesting as I look at my own life, and maybe you do as well, is that there's a lot of things that robs joy in my life, some small, some large. Let me give you a couple examples of some joy robbers that I've experienced in my life. I was just standing in a line not too long ago because I was picking up a gift for one of my sons, and I had the email, I had the confirmation number, I had everything, I was ready to go. I stood in line, and I waited about 25 minutes, and I just was having a conversation chat with the people in front of me, behind me. We all had our masks on, and we were staying socially distanced. There's a round stamp on the ground there, a sticker actually that's on the ground. You guys have seen this, right? A sticker on the ground, and then there's a 6 foot. So we're standing there, and I'm waiting about 25 minutes. I get to the front, and he says, okay, sir, you may go in. And so I go in, and I give them the slip. I give them the email. I give them the confirmation number, and they said, oh, well, I'm sorry, but this is for your son. I said, oh, no, I know that. I'm his dad, and here's my license. And so here's the confirmation, here's the email that you sent, and so I'm here to pick it up. I couldn't pick it up because I wasn't him. That was a joy robber right there for me. I'm just going to tell you that right there. I set up lights around the house. Kathy loves lights at Christmas, so we put these lights up all the perimeter of the house, the whole house. Put them up, and they look great. And wouldn't you know it, one strand goes out. I got up on a ladder and I checked the fuses in that thing, and I put new fuses in and didn't work. And I checked every bulb. I went on the ladder and went all the way down checking all the bulbs. Nothing worked. This gone on for a week, and I just said, just forget it. I'm not going to do it, because my joy was robbed. I was like, forget it. I'm not even going to look at it. And they came back on last night. I have no idea how they came on, but you know, light strands are a joy killer. Some of us didn't see family during the Thanksgiving holiday. We're probably not going to see family during the Christmas holiday. That's a joy robber, wouldn't you say? Anybody agree with me on that one? Some of you are not anticipating seeing a crazy family member because, you know, when you get together with family, there's that person on your family that's that crazy person, right? I don't know if it's an uncle or an aunt or whoever it might be. And if you don't have a crazy person in your family, bad news, it might be you. That's a joy robber right there. Gets a little harder. What about when you lose a family member? That's a joy robber. Do you know that in our church, listen carefully, in our church this week, actually in the last 2 weeks, we've had the Tudors that have lost a family member. We've had the Pauls lose a family member. We had the Browers lose a family member. We had the McQuinns lose a family member. We had the Kinseys lose a family member. And that's just not all of them. Joy robbers. Well, then there's things like a furnace that goes out. That's a joy robber, would you agree? About a week ago when it was really cold, remember those days when it was really cold, really, really cold, our furnace went out. Not only did our lights not work, but our furnace went out and we were freezing cold, so we set the ottoman on fire to have some heat in the house. I didn't know what to do, you know? I mean, so actually we didn't do that, but I mean, it was freezing cold. That's a joy robber. A financial crisis is a joy robber. A diagnosis from a doctor, that's a joy robber. A relationship can be a joy robber. There's plenty of opportunities. And you know what the enemy does? The enemy takes every single one of those, small and large, and he wants to steal your joy. So it's no wonder that Jesus prayed that God would protect us against the joy robber. There's a doctor, her name is Dr. Brené Brown. She works at the University of Houston, and she studied joy for 10 years. I was dumbfounded by that, but she studied it for 10 years. And this is what she said, really interesting. She said that joy is the most vulnerable emotion we experience. And if you can't tolerate joy, what you do is you start dress rehearsing tragedy. Let me unpack that a little bit. She's saying that joy, because most of us associate joy with an event or a certain memory or something that takes place or a bonus or something that might happen in your life. And so she says that joy is extremely vulnerable. But when you experience joy, whatever that looks like in your life, many of us can't even handle it. So you know what we do? We dress rehearse tragedy. Let me tell you how we do that. There's often two ways where we dress rehearse tragedy. We play the game of what if. Ever played that game? What if that doesn't come through? What if that client leaves? What if she's not open to that change? What if he doesn't really understand what needs to take place? What if he loses his job? What if we play the game? We dress rehearse tragedy. And the what if game is dress rehearsing tragedy. And you know what Jesus says? He's praying against that. He wants to protect us from the joy robber. Here's the other game that we play that dress rehearses tragedy, and that's this. We play the game of the other shoe syndrome, meaning when things are going great in your life, some of us have a struggle with that because you know why? We're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? You're like, things are great now, but they probably won't next week, right? In my business, I don't know, something's gonna happen. We play the other shoe syndrome, and so Jesus prays this incredible prayer that we would be protected. Well, there's one more. Take a look at it with me. It's in John 17. Take a look at verse 15 again with me. And he says this, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. This is startling to me because it would seem to me that if I was king of the universe, it would be much easier if God just took us out of our problems, because I think that would inject joy pretty quickly in my life, maybe in yours. But he doesn't pray that. He prays, do not take them out of the world. I do not ask you that you take them out of the world. Jesus is saying, don't take them out of the world. Leave them in the world. I'm going to fulfill them with joy. I'm going to pray for protection for them, but leave them in the world. So here's the third thing, if you're taking notes, and that's this, that joy fulfilled means that we need to be acting in courage, that you act in courage, that you walk in courage. Let me explain that, because this is a little bit more difficult, because it's startling what Jesus does. He prays that we don't get out of our pain, but that we go through it. Jesus is saying, don't take them out of the world, don't take them out of the problems, keep them in the world, because I'm gonna give my joy so that their joy is fulfilled, and I'm gonna pray against the evil one who is the joy robber. I wanna protect them, but I want you to keep them there. Here's the problem. See, most of us, when we think of joy, we think of it this way, that you either have joy or you have sorrow. It's one or the other. That in your life, you may have a low moment in your life, so joy is down here and sorrow is up here. Or things turn around for you and then all of a sudden joy is up here and sorrow is down here. And we live with this teeter-totter of life where you will either experience sorrow or joy. It can't be both, can it? And what Jesus prays is, oh, actually it can. Actually, what Jesus is praying looks like this. That joy and sorrow run like a train track. That they actually can coexist in your life. And when they coexist in your life, it proves who God really is. He says, don't take them out of the world. Leave them there so that they can experience joy in the midst of sorrow. They run parallel. That's mind-blowing. Because for me, it'd be easier if we just took us out. But God says, no, let's leave them there so that the sorrow and the joy can run concurrently and our joy can be stronger than our sorrow. Here's the best part, watch this, that when we get to heaven, the sorrow track leaves and all we have is joy. That's why when Paul makes this comment, which on the surface is silly, rejoice in the Lord always. Always? No. Always? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do I have to remind you that Paul is saying this while he's in prison, while his life is just about to be taken, and he talks to a bunch of people whose lives are already being taken because of an emperor that's crazy, and he says to them, rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know how Paul can say this? Because sorrow and joy are like train tracks in our lives. If you're a follower of Jesus, don't miss this. Joy and sorrow can run deep in our lives, and joy can overshadow the sorrow in our lives. And that, my friends, is the Christmas gift. That, my friends, is joy fulfilled. When you're connected to God, and when you understand that there's a joy robber, and when you understand that it's not sorrow or joy, it's sorrow and joy, and we still can have joy, that's the Christmas gift. Would you bow with me now? Because my guess is some of you have some joy robbing happening in your life. In all of our campuses, if you just online, if you would just bow your heads, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord, this is robbing my joy, and I give it to you. Thank you that you protect me from the joy robber. This is what's robbing my joy. Thank you for protecting me from the joy robber. God, I pray that today, that as we contemplate our lives, in this season of joy, we're supposed to have some kind of joy. But the reality is, given COVID, given all kinds of circumstances and situations and relationships and finance and health and losing family members, it's so hard. I thank you, God, that when we read your prayer, that you sort it out for us. Lord, if there's some that have drifted from you like David, I pray, God, that we would walk back, that our joy meter might be high because we're connected to you, I pray, Father, that you would help us because we all have joy robbers. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us, that we would understand the amazing reality that joy and sorrow can run together in our lives. And Lord, that you are more powerful, so it takes an act of courage on our part to be able to run with joy and sorrow. Hear the prayers of these people. Hear the prayers of my friends. I pray, Father, that you would guide them and lead them. May this not just be the season of joy, but Father, may we experience joy. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.